Welcome to Through the Corporate Glass, a podcast that explores career choices. Welcome to Through the Corporate Glass, Chavi. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks a lot, Ashwini, for inviting me. And it's going to be very interesting to share the experiences on the podcast.
Yeah, I look forward to it. So can we start with an elevator pitch for Live AI Dream?
Yeah, sure. Like the name suggests, I wanted to live my AI dream. And I wanted other companies that will become our customers to live their AI dream. We do the hard work of following AI research and they get the benefit out of it. Right now, we are focusing on customer service representative, sales representative, and marketing. The most famous product right now is Enterprise ChatGPT, which is like a few-click solution to make a custom chatbot for your own company. And our follow-up project is going to be a 3D influencer, which is basically creating marketing material for your company based on your ethical values and your own data. So yes, we will take care of the peripherals and company can focus on its main work.
Awesome. Yeah, I love the name and the mission sounds super exciting as well. Would you be dealing with the enterprise's custom data to tune the models and so on? Is that things
exactly
that you know? Okay.
So yeah, we have like a plethora of services we are going to offer. So the first one is like, you just drag and drop your files literally on our platform, click 3 buttons and done. The source code will be auto-generated and just copy-paste that on your website and your customer service representative, sales representative, HR employee, whatever type of employee you want is ready immediately. And then we in fact not just provide that, but we also run an automatic analysis using ML models to tell you what are the main concerns of your user, what they like, what they don't like, and stuff like that. And the best part is, in this entire journey, we don't look at the company data strictly like we are signing NDAs that we will not look at your data, not use it for any purposes other than helping the company. So everything is automated.
I see. Interesting. So basically you're saying this is a one-click bot that you will get custom built for your data and for your use case, right?
Exactly. And then the second solution is more like fine-tuning your own model,
yeah,
which is like the marketing influencer. So that will be like literally an LLM built for that particular company with that particular face and voice, which will basically tap all social media platforms and which will be delivering messages on a daily basis for the company without company having to worry about hallucination, false information or anything like that. And they can even ask us to host it on their own premise or anywhere they like. It will be their model that they will have the entire control upon.
Got it. That's great. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of a step back and talk about your career journey first before we double click on Live AI Dream. So you worked primarily on cellular modems, 5G, RF, and you were at Qualcomm for a long time. I know you from the Nokia days. So how did you decide to switch paths?
Yeah, so actually, very interestingly, in my career, I have switched paths very often. So in fact, whenever I feel I'm getting comfortable in something, that is like the immediate trigger for me to switch path. Because sitting like a round peg in a round hole means that we are just, not growing any further.
Right.
So I want like it a little challenging for me at all times. So actually, I started my career with the user interface layer in ARI, which was actually a shipping simulator company, and which was all about C++ and this very like niche programming and very cutting edge software at the UI layer. Then I went to business development layer. Then I went to database layer. Then I switched to, like you said, right, telecom sector. So I worked for the satellites. Then I worked in the TCP/IP layer. Then I worked in 3G, 2G, 4G, 5G from layer 3 to layer 1, and then firmware and then RF.
Right. So, wow.
I like switched to machine learning in my like corporate journey. So yeah, for me, I see that I can visualize in my mind the connections. So very interestingly, people might not find any connection between shipping simulator and RF, but I find it. For me, everything in the world is connected. We just need to know the path.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant point. And I'm curious if you found any interesting connections in the ML world with your previous experience.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, you know, when I was asking to switch between the teams and I was trying to come out of RF and go to the AI research, my company's HR was really, really worried because I was the topmost employee in RF segment. I was actually the architecture lead of the entire research project. And they were like, you will fail miserably because these things are not correlated and we cannot let our best employer do this, you know, murder of the career at the peak of it. So we will not let you switch. I had to literally negotiate with them for 6 months. And when I switched to it and I immediately like kind of performed in ML, then they were surprised. And then actually I in fact moved to the systems team and not just like the applied ML, but the systems ML. So for me, the points that were connecting is RF is all about latency.
Yeah.
So we used to think in terms of 300 microseconds is too long.
Right.
And ML is all about, okay, if it is working in 1 month, then you're good. You know, the model can take 1 month to ingest data and we're good. So I think that's where most of the RF engineers fail to switch to ML domain because they cannot come out of that mindset that optimization in ML is not the key. And they cannot think about time when they're in ML. But what they can use in ML from RF is actually rest of the 90%. So just don't think about the latency and what you have been focusing throughout the career. Think about the architecture. Because software is software. No matter what type of software we are writing, it has few basic concepts. Interface should be very clear. Requirement should be captured properly. In RF, interaction is the most important part between different layers. In ML, also the same thing. In RF, if you are talking to your database somewhere, in ML also you are doing the same thing. If you are debugging something in RF, it requires lots and lots of data to be crunched. Same thing in ML. So, you know, just put your mind in that zone where you find things more similar than dissimilar. And then you feel already like an expert at that area. So it becomes much easier.
Thanks for sharing that. I think that's an awesome insight about focusing on the differences to make sure that you treat it consciously differently. What inspired you to start Live AI Dream?
Before making that switch in my career from RF to being an AI research engineer, I was like really inspired to work on ML. And that time, all people were doing is take cat image and dog image, put it into different folders and let AI say that yes, it is cat and yes, it is dog. So I felt like I have to study more about it. That cannot be the end of AI. So I took program from Harvard University. Then I did my MS in AI from University of Illinois. Then I worked in AI department. But I was feeling very dissatisfied because I was thinking that I'm just looking at a very minor set of the problem. Even if I work in the AI research department of a particular company as an engineer or even as a manager, I get to see only a little bit of it. But AI right now is something like math and physics at the beginning of 1900s. So I wanted to work at the entire problem space. And then the only option was to have my own company. Because now I'm using AI at every single thing.
That's actually a very interesting thought. Your approach is very different. You're saying, I just want to be able to explore and learn a lot more. And you're doing it through the startup. Yeah, and I think it is, to your point, a very fascinating time for AI with the advent of LLMs and all of these new pieces, which are, yeah.
Actually, Before, in fact, ChatGPT released its model and it became so popular, I already, like, you know, started my own company. So when I went to conferences, I could see that this is where the research direction is going. And like you said, right, generally people start with a problem. I started with a hammer.
Yeah.
But the hammer is so good right now that literally if you, you know, keep using it as like Brahmastra, right? In Hindu religion, they say this particular tool can solve any of your problem.
Right.
That is what we have with AI. So most of the companies at that time, like a year back, were not using it almost at all to its potential.
Right.
And that's where the opportunity was. We want people to use it to its fullest potential and with the ease of few clicks.
Right. I guess a little bit of a different topic from essentially the startup itself. One of the reasons that people are not using AI is because they're not sure what it entails. They don't know about how much of the information might leak, the security angle. Also, just a fear of something which is new, right? How much of this have you seen? Have you seen a lot of resistance to adopting AI? Has it been easy to convince people?
Yeah, actually, you're absolutely right. So when I started the company, it was almost like, you know, only vision models were in focus. And LLM was not at all in picture.
Right.
So that fear was like a lot. And the use cases were very limited. It was mostly for, you know, counting problems and people tracking problems kind of thing. So people were actually comfortable in that much data sharing. That, okay, you know, you put a camera in our premise and count people and all that. That was okay. But right now you're saying, you give us all your data and we help you build something.
Right.
So that's where it becomes too intrusive to the company to, you know, let somebody know about their internal details. And that is exactly where I found this opportunity that we are not saying that give us access to your database. We are saying that let's say tomorrow you hire a customer sales representative and you will know that this employee might leave your company in next 1 month. So obviously you will not give them your best, most important proprietary information. You will give him 5 documents that if any customer asks you these questions, answer them like this. So give our chatbot only that much information and then grow with us. Then once you know that, you know, your customer sales representative is doing what it is supposed to, but with much less effort. Because if you hire an employee, obviously I'm not saying that replace your workforce with this. But let's say if some company is new or some company is not even hiring at all and they're losing sales because nobody is even on their customer service department, then just have this. So in this case, this employee will not take vacation. It will not basically suddenly leave your company. It will not forget information. It will not come and ask the same question 3 times.
Right.
So if you are not even doing it at all, then at least start with something. And this is basically the perfect solution. That's why you want to like gain trust slowly and use only the information that is not like really your core business at the point.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I like how you equated it to a new employee joining in terms of the trust angle, right? That's a nicer way to think about it rather than, okay, there's this unknown thing and I have to trust it. So you have an affiliation with both Microsoft and NVIDIA now. So how is the experience of working and collaborating with these two companies?
Yeah, I mean, they are basically the giants of AI now. Microsoft in terms of the software because of the OpenAI partnership also, and NVIDIA because of obviously the NVIDIA GPUs.
Yeah.
So we strategically wanted to have affiliations and partners who are going to propel us along with them AI journey. So I'm extremely surprised how much help they can provide to an external company. And we are always focusing on how to make this particular solution very much like safe and usable for the company, the consumer. So for example, Microsoft is giving affiliated companies a specific platform. So we have our own platform where OpenAI don't have access to, Microsoft don't have access to. We have our own custom models even the OpenAI models, which we can version control, and nobody else can see it, look at them. But it is happening at the scale of Microsoft. So if suddenly you grow from one customer to 10,000 customers, our platform has that capability to grow with you immediately. And with NVIDIA, they have the best possible GPUs and best possible 3D tools. So they basically enable us to immediately add to the capacity. Right now, if you go in the market and ask for a GPU, you have a 1 year of waiting time. But if you come to us, it is like 30 minutes. So, you know, these two companies are like, you know, for me, I can never thank them enough.
Yeah, that is actually amazing that you partner with these two for the access. I'm guessing you would take care of all of the hosting and the infrastructure components through these collaborations, right?
Exactly. But they provide me expert teams. So we have my own expert team from both these companies, and they literally work as my company's team members, but they are employees of Microsoft and NVIDIA. So they are really the expert. They just enable us to do things.
Awesome. That is fantastic. That's great because you can then focus on your core problem while you get support for this infrastructure.
Yeah, because you know, going through their tons of documentation is sometimes not even possible.
Yeah.
So I call them, okay, this is not happening. How to do this? And then once they train us, then we are able to do it on our own.
Right. Yeah. I saw this from your website, and to be honest, it might have changed because I know the pace of change is very high, both in startups and in the LLM world. But you covered a range of applications, right? And it listed something from like healthcare, education, to like entertainment. And how do you actually manage these different domains? Like, do you actually have different models for each of these areas?
Yes. So yeah, like I said, right, the hammer right now is LLM.
Yeah.
Because it enables us to talk in natural language. Nobody has to be aware of computing word, and still they are able to use it. But underneath, we are not using just one model. If it is a healthcare application, then it has like, you know, something which is a vision model or something that is tuned on, let's say, healthcare data. And then underneath that, LLM is calling that particular model. If it is your tutor, then it is about, you know, calling that tutor model, which is tuned on, let's say, Python code. So these are the custom solutions that we very rarely now, you know, work on with companies to give them a custom solution unless, you know, it's really profitable to us. But otherwise, we are in a product zone now where we are just providing the LLMs for custom chatbot creation as well as for, like I said, peripheral things like marketing and sales.
Got it. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I know you mentioned that you provide these LLMs to companies, right? There's also this aspect of the customer-facing bot and the branding and things like that. Is that something your customers bring with them, or is that something you handle as well?
So yeah, for example, let's say the custom chatbot they want to build. So they have to come up with their own data. So we just help them to know what type of data. So for example, let's say if they will not provide the correct type of data to their chatbot, let's say if it is a customer service representative, then obviously the chatbot will not be correct. Mm-hmm. If they will not choose their brand colors to brand it, then it will not work. So initially we help them onboard. We will basically provide them with use case examples that see your type of company can do this. And then we provide them that support, the handholding initially. And once they are, you know, accustomed to using AI, then there is no stopping them.
Yeah, that's fair. So this is a slightly different question, going away from what the company actually does to what is the biggest challenge that you faced while building the company?
Oh my God. That's a very good question. Because when you say biggest, it should be one challenge. But building a company is like nothing that somebody can ever even imagine. It is a complete shift in mindset as a person, as a society, as a family, everything around you have to change and basically grow in this transcendental journey where I had to cut down 90% of my social circle. And I was willing to make monetary sacrifices. That's where I took this leap of faith. And I was of the mindset that I will do it no matter what. I was mostly thinking about, you know, in terms of, okay, how much hard work I have to do. I'll do it like 24/7 job with no money and with a lot of passion that I'm willing to do. But I didn't know that I have to like change myself as a person. I have to change my circle. I have to like place boundaries around me because the expectations suddenly change. If I'm going to certain parties or doing certain things, now I'm working 24/7 on my company on weekends also. So those people will not understand and adjust. It's like just looking in the horizon and not knowing where it ends. So somebody has to be like really, really compelled to do it. Only then they can do it because society does not like suddenly help you do it.
Right. Yeah, that's a great insight, actually. And just the space that your startup is in, right? Like with the whole AI and LLM, especially evolving this rapidly, how do you stay updated? And this might go back to your 24/7 comment, but I'm just wondering, how do you, is there some place that you follow these new developments at that listeners could benefit from as well? Anything that you could share?
Definitely. So yeah, that was actually the biggest part initially, just to know how to tap into these channels and like stay updated because yeah, like you said, right, that's where the 24/7 comes in because in AI world, if something is 1 month old, in other technologies, that happens in like 7 months or sometimes even years.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, right, I had to basically build my own channels to get this information streamlined. For example, there are like certain companies, let's say Hugging Face, they know everything about open source models at this point. So I religiously follow, you know, what is going there and what is coming out of it. But now they have like 130,000 models.
Yes.
Taking the information down and knowing what to pick from there itself is a big thing. But now I have my own AI models that are basically my agents. So I treat them as my company employees. So I let them do this distillation of information for me.
Nice.
And similarly, there are certain channels like Facebook, like Meta Research. They also do some great work in open source. And they also release a lot of information about it. So we get from there. There are a lot of LinkedIn influencers who also, you know, post. So what I am doing right now is I have created this Live Your Dream LinkedIn channel. And I'm thinking that whoever wants to grow with us can just like tune into that channel and we will be updating the most important research updates on that. Because obviously we cannot eat this entire pie alone. So if somebody wants to partner with us or just like get benefited through us, that is perfect.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I'll link Hugging Face, and if you have your LinkedIn page up, I would link that as well in our show notes for our listeners. A last question about like your association with Microsoft for startup founders. How does that work? How does it benefit you?
Yes, so basically Microsoft, like I mentioned earlier, right? They helped us to first with a lot of credit in terms of money, with which we can buy a lot of infrastructure, a lot of marketing tools, sale tools. Even the GitHub is Microsoft's product. So we could like, without putting in money, we could buy all these products. And then that was easy part because, you know, I can get funding being an AI company easier. But the difficult part was which one to use and to like really get access to the experts. So that is what I value most. Because I was thinking if I will raise a ticket, it might get answered in like a week or may not get answered at all. But that is not true. Like literally when I raise a ticket, immediately I get an email to like book a call and I can immediately book the call and the expert in that area helped me to like do my work. So getting models out at scale is a different ballgame. And being an embedded engineer, I was not so good at it. But thanks to Microsoft expert team, now I learned from them, and now our products are going at much higher pace because now I know how to do this cloud infrastructure best in the least possible cost with the best possible service.
Nice. So any thoughts that you would want to share with budding entrepreneurs, people who want to enter the world of AI?
I think everybody who is not listening about AI right now is just missing half part of their world, literally. This is something that does not happen in 100 years. How will you get to talk to Einstein and Newton right now? You cannot. Like, how much ever money you get. So similarly, AI has Einsteins and Newtons right now of the world. And if you're not talking to them, you're not listening to them, you're just missing on this biggest innovation ever humanity has seen. It is as substantial as fire. So if somebody is not tuning into AI, they are just going to be less performant. Doesn't matter which type of job they are doing. And getting tuned into AI is very easy right now. You can take our service, for example, just with a few clicks, you can incorporate something in your business. Or at least just start listening to the news in AI world, if it is maybe 5 minutes a day. For starting career in AI, that is a hard part. You have to see whether you want to go in systems, in research, in AI applications, or you just want to sit at the periphery of software engineering and AI and do that. Each domain has its own requirements and it needs a different type of person. So if you are very, very good with data and you can do data crunching, you can go in systems. If you're very good at thinking about optimization related problem, go to research. If you can persistently keep working on debugging, then go to something like making models smaller, let them fit on a device. So that is like optimization of ML models. And if you're really good at software engineering and just want to do the peripheral work with AI, then go in the AI application space. And I think the most money is going to be in the AI application space for the vast majority of people, because research gets outdated very quickly. But your product, if it is in the market and if it is useful, that will not get outdated so quickly.
Yeah, that was very insightful, Chavi. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for this interview and wish you all the very best for the startup.
Thank you so much, Ashwini. Yeah, it was nice talking to you. And thanks a lot for putting this together for AI enthusiasts.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed our episode, do subscribe to the podcast and check out our show notes, which provide more information on the topics discussed during the episode. Please follow us on LinkedIn at Through the Corporate Glass and on Twitter at Corporate Glass and share your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. You can also check out our website, throughthecorporateglass.com.